So what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? Do you have what it takes? Do you have drive and passion and desire, but you just don't know how to put it all together? Well, we have got the show for you. Join Daniel O'Griggs. Each week, he's going to break it down. Daniel's going to show you how to go from A all the way to Z. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs.
All right, so check this out. Thanksgiving here and gone. Thanksgiving weekend. But let me tell y'all something. If you have any type of goals throughout the rest of this year or any type of goals, period, do not let this daggum holiday interfere with those goals. It's a holiday. It's Thanksgiving. You're supposed to be thankful and whatnot. I understand that. I'm not saying don't spend time with family. I'm not saying don't spend time with friends and enjoy yourself. But make sure your priorities in order to hit your goals. There's going to be another Thanksgiving. I mean, hopefully we still living at that point. But anyways, there's going to be another one. Like I said, I'm not saying abandon family, abandon friends, but like make sure you're hitting your goals. If you got health goals, if you've dedicated your life to your health, if you dedicated yourself to like, you know, being better, maybe you use it as a cheat day, but it's a cheat day, not a cheat weekend. I know everybody got the pies. You know, I love pecan pie, man. I love banana pudding. I've already spoke so many times about honey buns, but that's not really a part of Thanksgiving. But anyways, look, always stick to your goals if it has to do with business. Like, I know a lot of people or most people aren't doing anything during Thanksgiving, especially in the corporate world. You know, I deal with a lot of corporate clients and whatnot, and people aren't working. People aren't knocking out things. You know, my project manager and my team, everyone for the most part isn't doing anything. But during that time, even if, you know, we bust out a lot of projects and did a lot of things prior to. But even outside of that, like I'm doing little personal things like jotting down more goals, thinking about more strategies, think about other things that can happen. Not because it's like I'm a workaholic or anything, which I mean, I could possibly be depending on how you look at it. But I got goals, man. I got big goals. And honestly, I just love what I do. Like I enjoy it. My mind runs around it. I'm going to spend time with my wife. I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to spend time with my family. Definitely going to do that. But guess what? When everyone goes to bed and I may be laying in bed and I feel like getting up or I may feel like leaning over and jotting down some ideas and things I got in mind, like I enjoy doing that. I'm going to still get my rest. I'm going to still enjoy myself. I'm going to still, you know, be grateful that I have my family and whatnot during the holiday. But look, if you have goals, do not be distracted. With that being said, thanks for tuning in. This is the Inspired Daily Grind. I am Daniel O'Griggs. If it's your first time listening in, look, I'm talking about entrepreneurship. I'm talking about the grind. Of course, when you're looking at beach selfies, when you're looking at any type of vehicles, it doesn't even have to be a Lamborghini. Hell, it doesn't even have to be a beach selfie. Just a nice selfie anywhere. You're happy. You're enjoying yourself as an entrepreneur. There's a story behind it. There's a story behind everyone. There's a story behind everything. No one has just woke up, brushed their teeth, wiped the matter out of their eyes and was just successful. And even if they are successful, it's all other types of things that you got to worry about. You got to worry about margins. You got to worry about how I'm going to build up this business, how I'm going to continue to grow and all these other different things. And so that's what we focus on this show. I focus on that. I get realistic people. I have people on here that's extremely successful, has made multi-millions. And I have people that's just starting up their company, but they've been grinding. They've been working at it. Right. They can be doing it for a year, but they're still going through struggles. They still have these stories because that's what the Inspired Daily Grind is all about. Being authentic and really letting people know, like, this is how it is. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let up. So today on this show, like last week, we talked about I was talking about a Forbes article that I seen, 17 simple questions successful entrepreneurs or 17 simple questions that you should ask yourself if you are an entrepreneur or if you're going to become an entrepreneur. Last week, we touched on what are my motives, how comfortable am I with failure, which of my responsibilities will be disrupted by being an entrepreneur. You can definitely go and listen to that, danielogriggs.com. Check it out, or you can go to iHeartRadio, search for The Inspired Daily Grind. You can go to Empower Radio, search for me, Daniel O'Griggs, or The Inspired Daily Grind, and you can check out that podcast. Gave some really good nuggets on that one, man, on that episode. Really good ones. We only got through three of them. Probably only going to get through three today as well. I love to elaborate on them. So we're going to go ahead and start it off with the fourth question. But the first question for today, what is the problem I'm looking to solve as an entrepreneur. So I'm going to read this out, then I'm going to give my 2 cents, or I give a lot more than 2 cents. I'm going to elaborate on it a little bit. So all startups begin with this question. Facebook saw a lack of opportunity to easily communicate with classmates. Google didn't like the inaccuracy of search results. Instagram thought photos taken with the mobile phone looked boring. Keep it simple. So they talking about keep it simple, but Facebook, Google, and Instagram is big as hell. I don't know why they say keep it simple and use those, but I understand what they mean. Like, they started off with a simple problem, a simple task. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, like, this goes both ways. If you're thinking about something, of course, find a problem, then create something to solve that problem, but make it simple. Like, I even have to tell myself this. Like, I had a big idea, which I think on the last podcast, I started off talking about, like, if you got an idea, go after it. I told my wife about it, and she was like, hey, this company does, or there's already an app for that, and they do it. And I was like, man, really? But the whole idea I told her was just like this huge, bigger picture, hypothetical, like it could evolve to this. And so I tracked back actually last weekend, a week later, after I told her, I tracked back and I said, okay, what started this idea? What formed it? And what I initially thought about, I'm not going to tell y'all about it because I got this in the works right now. It's going to be launched in 2018. Let me keep you up to date on it. But anyways, look, I thought about this idea and I said, okay, what's the basics of it? Why did I even think about it in the first place? So that's what you want to think about. Like, what problem am I looking to solve? What problem is there out there? Now, me with ATX12 Designs, the problem that I seen was there are a lot of really small businesses that have horrible websites. And I feel like I can create them a better looking website for an affordable price starting off. So that's the problem that I seen. And I mean, it was a really good problem to try to solve, because in the area that I'm in the Austin area, period, there's a ton of small businesses. There's always these startups. And most of these websites are DIY websites, do it yourself. And so I knew I could create something better than what they had. Now, as we evolved, you know, moving into 2018, when I started in 2015, we deal with a lot more corporate companies. And we think about, you know, how can we take this corporate company and really create like the brand message for get out the brand message for them and strongly create them a brand identity. They're great. They're good. They're doing successful, but they're looking to grow. They're looking to evolve into something else. So now the problem that I see is a lot of these big corporate companies, they really don't have a marketing team. So what I look at is my web design company is, of course, we're a web design company because everyone loves the web. Everyone understands websites. So they'd be like, you know, hey, I want to start with the website. That's the first thing, which is very true. You start with that. You create the brand, the identity, the message you want to get out. Then you take that and allow it to resonate on all of the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever social media platform you're going with. And even if you're talking about paper marketing, like, we don't do paper marketing per se, or should I say market it or advertise for it. But our graphic designer, she does a hell of a job when we're talking about creating business cards. Of course, we do logos for people and brochures and whatnot. So just allowing someone's brand to resonate, give them a nice, clean look that actually resembles what they want people to remember and know about them. So when you're talking about looking at a problem, like, I mean, keep it simple. If you want to have a maid service, even though it's like automatic, like, you should know what the problem is, write it down and understand it. Look, we have a maid service because people want their homes cleaned. But now start to break it down into like target audiences. Okay, look, people want their homes cleaned. What types of people want their home cleaned? Okay, maybe it's a family. Both the parents work. They have, you know, one child, multiple kids. It's hard for them to, you know, get clothes washed, wash, fold clothes. They, you know, they have young kids. Carpets needs cleaning. Like, actually, the stuff that I'm talking about right now are problems that we have in my own daggum house. I mean, me and my wife have 3 kids, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 2-year-old. They're in daycare. The 5-year-old and 3-year-old, they do sports. Both my wife and I both work. We always have clothes to be washed. Couch will be full of clothes. Even when all the clothes are folded, still got to hang them up. Like, it's a nonstop thing, and it's every single week. So we like to outsource those things and get somebody to come in and just vacuum and pick stuff up. I mean, I know it's on me to wash the dishes, and I'm a work in progress. I'm probably gonna be a work in progress on that for the rest of my life. But look, there's always problems out there that people need to solve. Don't try to create a problem or try to squeeze a problem out. Just think of something simple. Like I said with Facebook, Facebook saw a lack of opportunity for people to communicate with classmates. So they created Facebook. I remember when Facebook came out or when I got light to it, it was in like 2005 when I was in college. And it was addictive, like even more addictive than it is now, because you had to actually get on your laptop or your computer to go and look at it. And I was in, it's called the ASC, something like that, when I was in college, where all of the the computers and stuff were us. And we would be in there for hours and just talking and connecting with other people from other schools and stuff like that. It's halfway a dating site on the low, because people was meeting girls from other schools and all types of stuff. But that's another story, another day. I ain't even finna get off up in that. But look, that's what Facebook seen. You know what I mean? And now look what it has evolved to. So it started off as one thing, very simple, how college people can connect with other people at other schools. And even if you went to the same school, there was a lot of people. I went to a small college and it was still people that I didn't know of. And I connected with them on Facebook. That's how I got to know them. Right. Same thing. Google's seen the inaccuracy of search results. And it was a huge inaccuracy of search results. And they just made that massive. Instagram thought taking photos with a mobile phone look boring. So they created all these filters. I mean, they made this whole big deal about it. But it started off with something simple. So find a problem and solve that problem. It's that easy. Don't like to solve the problem. You don't have to make it something just massive. I mean, solve the problem. People need their homes clean. Provide services where you come and vacuum, wipe down counters and do things like that. People need websites for their businesses. If you don't have a website or if the one you have looks horrible, I created a company to where I can make it look better. So think about something simple and it's small things. Like, I don't want to answer this because it's actually a question down the line. So we'll go to the next question. Question number two for today. Question number five on this article. Do I have the problem? Having the problem personally allows instant insight into virtually every area of the business and an intuition about what potential customers want. If you don't personally have the problem, it's a major warning sign. Now, this is very true. Like, it's a lot easier to solve a problem when you have that problem, or it's personal to where you know people that have that problem. Not like, oh, people would love this because everyone has this problem. No, like, you know someone that actually has this problem and you can personally relate. Even if you yourself don't have it, you can personally relate in the sense of like, okay, my friend Beth has this problem. She talks about it all the time. I'm going to create a solution for it. That makes it so much easier to solve, because then you have someone to like, okay, I'm going to come up with a solution for it. Then you create the solution and then you can ask for their opinion and find someone that's going to give you good constructive criticism and say, oh, this will be perfect, or like, it'd be good, but I think you should add this to it as well. Then you can combine their feedback along with the thought process that you have for it. And it makes it a lot easier to create a realistic solution for it. Like, if you watch Shark Tank, there's so many people that come up with these outrageous ideas. And I don't know where they seem like someone had a problem with it for, but even if it's not that many people that do or don't have a problem for it, it's just like way too much. And they're trying to force people to want to like recognize a problem that's not even like it's there, but it's not fully there, if you know what I mean. So if you have the problem, or if you know someone that has the problem and you can personally relate, it's a lot easier to create a solution for it. So question number six on the article, question number three for today, is it already in the market? If you're looking to create small pieces of paper that you can stick on your fridge, the solution, Post-its, is likely to disrupt the existing product. If someone is already doing it in the way you've conceived it, they're a better fish to fry. I agree and don't agree with that. I mean, I understand what they mean, like looking to create small pieces of paper that you can stick on your fridge. The solution is Post-its, is already available. Like that's a huge market now. Like that's already been done on an extensive level. You know what I mean? So what I get from this is, honestly, if you create anything, there's someone else that's already doing it on some level. Rather it be the level that you want to do it on, but like on another level or a level below how you completely like see it or envision it. But don't really allow that to stop you. As long as you have like a niche to it, that's still like a problem that people have. Like don't go overboard with it. You can still do it. There's so many different type of post-its. You know what I mean? But you can still break it down in regards to a target audience. So say, for instance, you create post-its for a very specific audience. Post-its that's meant for college students. Post-its that's meant specifically for entrepreneurs. Post-its that's meant for specifically for administrators or something like that. And there's a niche to it. You do have a smaller audience and a smaller market, but you can capture that market. So I like this from the sense of like, I understand it, but you can't really like, there's better fish to fry in this sense, because it's post-its, of course, but there's always going to be someone that's doing something like you or very similar to you. So while there can be better fish to fry, like if you have your own special sauce to it and it's still a problem to solve, don't get away from like, oh shoot, I can't do that because someone else is doing it. Like if you believe in it, you believe people are going to do it, and you have like a proof of concept, meaning like it works. When it's saying a proof of concept doesn't mean you asked a few people and be like, oh, this works and we have the system down, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like you've made money from it, a good amount of money from it, and you know it works and it can work. So then you can go along with it. But just because someone has already done it, don't let that shy you away from it. You know what I mean? Like you can't create another Facebook, but you can create something similar to it, and you can go after a very niche audience. If it's different enough to where they're like, I would rather have this because it's meant specifically for our industry or specifically for our field. You know what I mean? So I agree with it and I don't agree with it. That's very well debatable what they're saying and what I'm saying. But if there is something you already created and you see someone, like you start to do research and you're looking at competitors and people that's already done it, don't let that knock you off. You know what I mean? There's a ton of roofing companies. There's a ton of real estate agents. There are there's a plethora of daggummy web design agencies, especially in the Austin area. Like there's a ton everywhere, but have your niche. Like my niche isn't just creating these beautiful responsive websites. I never even mention or say anything about that. My niche or my thing is, you know, like I want to build people businesses. So when I create you a new website, it's not based on like giving you something that looks better than what you've already done. It's based on, hey, we're going to create this website for you. Then I'm going to give you consultations and really work with you on how to market to drive traffic to it, to get more leads, get more sales, make more money. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? But there's other companies that's like, look, we just want to grow your brand. We want to give you something that looks better than what it is. We have great designers, and they do. My company isn't my company doesn't necessarily have to be the best one that creates the best looking websites. But what I do and the direction that I go forward and how I market and push and what I do for my clients is completely different from someone else. So don't be discouraged if someone else is doing the exact same thing that you're doing. So we're getting through a few questions more than we did last time. So question 4 for today, question 7 on the article, what's the opportunity? Business is about balancing risk and reward. So what's the upside? If the opportunity is not significant, you either need to make sure your risk is low or abandon ship. So what I kind of get from this is, the main part at the end, if the opportunity is not significant, you either need to make sure your risk is low or abandon ship. This can go a bunch of different ways, because I always think about things in regards to, like when I read this, I'm thinking about quality or quantity. So you can have a lot of products, or you can have a service that's affordable or reasonable, or, you know, you low cut others because maybe you got great margins. I don't know. And you can think about doing a lot of margins. You know what I mean? So Not a lot of margin. You can think about doing a lot of you get a lot of clients for, right? You do a lot of, you have a lot of customers, you have a lot of clients, you produce a lot. Or you can do a lot less and you can have higher price points. You know what I mean? So either one of those, depending on your situation, is risk and reward. Like with retail, you definitely a lot of times are going to have the people that have like reasonable prices or low prices, but it's like, okay, we're going to do a lot of products and we're going to get a lot of customers. Or we're not going to do, you know, we may not get as many sales as this competitor, but our prices are going to be marked up 10, 20, 30% higher. You know what I mean? Or when you're talking about risk and reward, you can think about this in a whole nother sense of, okay, if I got a startup, what do I need to actually start this startup? Like, how much money do I need to invest to get it going? Like, do I have the amount of money to bootstrap this? Or do I have to get investors? Or do I have to go out and get a loan? Do I have to go out and get a line of credit or something like that? You know what I mean? So risk and reward is tough. And you have to look at that from a personal sense. As I've mentioned plenty of times, I mean, for me, I bootstrapped everything. I hate using the word bootstrapped. In other words, I didn't have a damn dime to my name except for $9.90. And that was tough enough to have every month. So for with mine, it was like, okay, I got $9.90 and I got to make this work for me. Even for me, that was a huge risk and reward because I was doing personal training at that time. I was still independent, still an entrepreneur, but I was trying to transition and evolve over to this digital world. And so the more time I put into ATX web designs, the less time I could do with my web design company, you know? So, with that, it was tough because the scariest thing we're talking about risk and reward was when I completely moved away from being a personal trainer and I was 100%, I'm talking about 100% into ATX web designs. I wasn't doing any more training and I had only ATX web designs as my only like stream of revenue. That right there was scary because it was like, okay, I'm grinding on this all day, every day. Like, this is a huge risk. I can get a lot of reward because I can get more clients and I'm putting all of my attention on this. But it was tough. You know what I mean? Like, as they still say, business is about balancing risk and reward. And that goes into the same thing. Like, I wasn't doing a corporate world to where I was actually out working a job, a 9-to-5. And then I was working on my business at night when I got off or before I went to work. But it's in the same sense, it's the same thing. And I know there's a lot of people out there that's listening that's, you know, you're an entrepreneur, but you're still like a part-time entrepreneur. You don't really know when you need to leave your job or stay at your job or like, because there's a lot of things involved with it. I mean, it hold like you got all of your benefits with it and you may have kids or it's just so comfortable sitting there and going to work and making that money and knowing you're going to have X amount of dollars every single month at the same time every single month. You know what I mean? So the risk and reward is huge on either side. And then once you leave that job, this is the scary part of it for people is that they know they're going to be 100% dependent on their efforts. Like I was telling my creative content writer this today when we had our meeting earlier this week on Monday when we had our meeting and I told her, I was like, I don't fear failure. I still get nervous. Like I get very nervous when I got a new marketing campaign coming out because I'm an all or nothing kind of person. Like I'm going to put everything into it. I'm a very dedicated person. I'm a committed person. When I go all into something, I go all into it. So my nose is going to be up. My chin is going to be left wide open if I get hit. I can still get up, but I'm saying like I go all into it. It's all or nothing. So I'm huge on risk. You know, of course, you know, educated risk, but it's still a huge risk. You know what I mean? So I don't feel fear failure, even though I still get nervous and I'll still be scared. Like I still go into it 100%. And me going into it 100% means for me, like my level of hustle and my level of effort is going to go way up. So I'm willing to stay up all night long, which I have done plenty of times. I figured things out plenty of times, because I'm like, okay, I want to succeed so bad that I have to put in a level of effort and a level of hustle that I've never even put in before. Like I'm going to a whole nother level. And I know I got to put in at work. So this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have to do to be successful. So when you're talking about balancing out risk and reward, my balance is based on my effort and my hustle. That's what's going to balance it out. I'm not going to do it with expectations of things to just work out because others do it. You know what I mean? So when you're talking about risk and reward, when it comes down to it, the risk and the reward is solely based on your hustle and your effort and your will to succeed. Boom. And I'm going to end it with that today. Like, I want y'all to take that away from everything I talk about, every single thing, like going into this next week, going into the remainder of this year, your effort and your will to succeed is what's going to dictate everything, your risk and your reward. This is Daniel O. Griggs. I appreciate y'all for listening in. You can go visit danielogriggs.com. This is the Inspired Daily Grind. I chat with you next week.
Join Daniel next week as he takes you through another walk of how to become a very successful entrepreneur. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O. Griggs.